This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Richard Adarosa, Senior Pastor of Church of the Harvest in Pahokee, Florida, along the beautiful Lake Okeechobee in South Florida, coming to you with a word from God this morning. And so, and this afternoon, or whatever time of day it might be for you, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share with you the Word of God for the purpose of seeing you delivered and set free and walking in the truth of God's Word. The Bible says that grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Him. And so I thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace and peace to be multiplied today as we share your word. And today I want to come to you and talk to you a little bit about relying on the divine power of God. And so I've got a couple of questions to start with. Have you ever felt low in strength? And have you ever felt overwhelmed? I know I have, and I'm sure if you were honest, you would say you feel the same way. I mean, we trust God. We say we trust God, and I believe we really do, but it's still hard, isn't it, on our mind, our will, our emotions, sometimes even physically difficult. I mean, we've made all the confessions, we've prayed, we've taken the Word of God as we understand it, and we've released our faith based on the Word of God, but it still sometimes doesn't take away the issues that we're dealing with, the difficulty, the pain, the affliction. And God is so amazing because when you're in a situation like that, sometimes it's a little hard because we want God to come right in and just give us peace, which He certainly does, and grace, and deal with all these things. But what do you do when it just doesn't seem like anything's working? I remember many years ago reading a book by Brother Hagen, the book was What to Do When Faith Seems Low and Victory Is Lost. But I realized that in the Word of God, we've already been given the victory. So what is it about standing and trusting and believing God when it doesn't look like anything around you is changing? In fact, for some people, they allow their minds to be so focused on the problems that they become depressed and things become very difficult. But I want to show you through the Word of God today that there is hope, that God is working exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so let's look at some scriptures. And of course, the first one we're going to go to is the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. And I hope that today that the God of comfort, the Holy Spirit, the God of mercies, the God of all comfort will help you this morning as you might be dealing with things. You know, there may be a person out there today who's dealing with the holidays and remembering the loss of a loved one and trying to just get through it. And you just feel like, how am I ever going to get through this? Well, I want you to know that God is there for you, that He's so close to you, that He's closer than a brother. He's on the inside of you, and that's as close as you can get, isn't it? Hallelujah. So pay attention while we're reading the scriptures. I'm going to read from the New King James, as I normally do. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." You know, understand that the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you has given us great grace and great riches to strengthen us in our inner man. Have you ever been to church or been time in the Word and you just feel so on top of things? Well, the reason that occurs is because you're feeding your spirit the Word, and the Holy Spirit is working and He's stirred up, and you just feel like you can tackle anything. But then as time goes on, especially if you don't continue in your relationship and abide in him like he says in his word in John 15, it almost feels like you've kind of slid down the slide, so to speak. But understand that we are strengthened from the inside by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit strengthens your inner man. He strengthens you on the inside, because when you're strong on the inside, you're strong on the outside. When your spirit man is fed and healthy and strong from the Word of God and from the working of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that you can't deal with. And despite how things may look from your surroundings and from the outside, though it may seem, as it says in Psalm 91, that there's enemies encamped around you, only with your eyes will you behold what happens to the wicked, because it's not going to come near you. God has strengthened you, and God has given you a great blessing in your life. He says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, God wants you to know who you are as in Christ. He wants you to know his love. His love knows no bounds. And really, when we know the love of God, fear has no place to attach itself, because love casts out fear. And in our relationship with Jesus, as we mature over the years, what are we really doing? What we're really doing is discerning and knowing, based on our experience with him, and of course through the Word of God, by faith, understanding just how much he loves us. Now, a God who loves us that much is not going to allow us to be overwhelmed. And so when you look at your situation, you look at the problems you're dealing with, understand that those problems and situations are temporary. If you look back over the years in your life, you've probably noticed that a lot of the problems that were really big 3 or 4 years ago, or maybe even a week ago, they just pale right now in comparison to other things that you're dealing with. But understand, it's the same God that has gotten you through those things. And to remember what God has done in the past, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he's closer than a brother. And only if we would fully comprehend and know how much he really loves us. He says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wouldn't you love to be filled with all the fullness of God? Well, how do I get to that place? By understanding the love of God. God manifests in our lives to demonstrate his love for us. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There's a power working in you right now. There's a power working in you that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Think about that. Are you relying on the power of God to work in your life? Have you just decided that, well, it's just going to be bad and I'm just going to have to deal with it? No, you don't just have to deal with it. Your answer is not on the outside. Your answer is on the inside. He's the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of you. And he's working in your spirit, man. And he's working to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power is that? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that was on Jesus when they said, are you him? And he said, I am. And they all fell backward bodily. That same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead, and that same Spirit that came into your life to transform you and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, is the same power that's working in your life with everything in life, with all the things that you're dealing with. We are creatures of habit. We like to do the same thing we've done before. We want to just read the word once, and we want to just release our faith there and just believe, and that's good. We need to do that. But you need to also understand that the greater one's living on the inside of you. That greater one who lives on the inside of you, you have to acknowledge his place in you. You have to acknowledge the lordship of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus gave you another comforter. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of you. He's on the outside of you. He's beside you. He's with you wherever you go. He's the same Holy Spirit who will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's time to meditate on that. Meditate on his goodness. Meditate on his love. And allow him to work in your life with exceeding greatness and exceeding power to help you as you deal with the struggles and the difficulties that all of us face in life. Let's look at Psalm 33, verse 6 for a moment. Going back to the Old Testament, I want us to look at Psalm 33. And we're going to be looking at verse 6. But I want you to see here, and I hope I'm speaking to some people here today. You're really dealing with some situations, and God is wanting to help you. He's wanting to give you the strength to be able to continue in staying strong in faith and not giving up. And not giving up. Listen, the book's been written. We win. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about that. My Bible's relatively new, so my pages still stick a little bit. But if I look at Psalm 33, got one more page to turn if you'll just be patient with me. Psalm 33, and I'm dealing with a sticky page. Hallelujah. Psalm 33, verse 6. Now listen to this. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The same God who's created this universe that we live in, that man has no excuse for not recognizing that there is a God. This whole universe that God put together just by his breath and by his spoken word. If God cares so much about that, doesn't God care the same amount about you? He's interested in every little thing. You know, when you think about it, when you look into the stars, you see the vastness and the greatness of the heavens. You see that with a great big telescope. Did you know that if you take a telescope and you flip it upside down, that it becomes a microscope? The same God who is the God of the telescopic things of life and planets and stars and all those things is the same God that if I flip the telescope, he's the same God who's mastered the DNA and the molecules and the atoms and these things in the large spaces and then in the most minute spaces that you can't see. And here you are in the middle. But God cares about you, and God is working in you with his exceeding great power to help you and to minister to you because he's committed to you. When you committed your life to Jesus, I want you to understand that before you ever received Jesus as Lord and Savior, his life was committed to you. From the very foundation of the world, before he ever spoke, light be, he was committed to you. He's the Father of spirits. You came from the Father. And when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you went back into fellowship. You were adopted back into the family of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Now look at Matthew chapter 19. I want to show you something that maybe you hadn't quite looked at it this way, but the Holy Spirit really was strong in showing me how this applies to our life. And if you look at Matthew chapter 19, we want to get around verse 26. And there's a young man who comes to Jesus. And in verse 20, let's begin there. The young man said to him, to Jesus, "All these things I have kept from my youth, what do I lack?" Now he's talking about the fact that he's thinking pretty good of himself, and he's thinking, you know, hey, look, I'm a follower of God, I've kept these things. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions. Now remember the possessions that he's talking about here, not understanding the spiritual possessions that we have in Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now that word hard is not the same word as impossible. And I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But at the same time, he didn't say it was possible. Impossible. And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now here's what I wanted to share with you today. In your life, there's certain things that you have, and you've built your life and families, and you may have a home and a car and wonderful relationships with other people. But the question here is, will you follow me? And of course, the man, because of his possessions, was a hindrance to his following Jesus. And when his disciples heard this, after Jesus said that it's easier to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, they asked him, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, with God all things are possible." So here's what I want to say to you today. And again, I'm speaking to people that are dealing with difficulties in life. Maybe you've been standing for your healing for a period of time, whatever it is. In the natural, it would be impossible for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, wouldn't it? In the natural, it seems impossible that in your situation, you can get the breakthrough that you need, because in the natural, it's impossible. So who then can be saved? Now that word saved means a whole lot more than salvation. It's talking about who then can be delivered. Perhaps some of you are in a situation where you need God to deliver you, because it's not going to happen on your own abilities. And God says, with man, it's tough. In fact, he even says it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So what I want you to see here is that despite how you're feeling, despite your circumstances, despite what seems to be mounded up against you, where in the natural it seems it's impossible to get out. How can I possibly stand any more of this? You ever asked yourself that? Have you ever asked yourself the question, "I don't think I can take anymore"? Well, to you, precious saint, today, what I'm sharing with you is that, yeah, it may be impossible for man, but with God, all things are possible. And I want you to see that God can bring your safety. He can bring your salvation. He can bring something that seems impossible, because he's an almighty God. And his power is working in you. His power is working in you right now. In fact, right now, say this with me: Jesus, I acknowledge the power that's working in me. That's right. Go ahead and say that. Jesus, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I recognize that you are the resurrection power that lives on the inside of me. That's right, say it. Say, Holy Spirit, you can raise this dead situation from the dead. You raised Jesus from the dead. You can raise me up. And Lord, I have that knowing on the inside of me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11 for just a minute. Hebrews chapter 11. I really hope this is helping somebody today. I've had days like that where it just seemed like I just needed some strength on the inside. You know, people spend so much time getting strong by working with their bodies and pumping iron and doing all that stuff, and I think that's good. I wish I did a little bit more of it when I was younger. I think I'd be in better shape today. But you know, the thing about it is that Paul said that bodily exercise profits little. Now think about that. He didn't say it doesn't profit. There's a profit and there's an advantage to exercising. We should all do it. But we should also realize that it's spiritual things that are more important than physical things. Get it right spiritually and you'll find out that in the natural realm, in this natural place that we live, you'll find out the things begin to work a lot better. And it may not necessarily be that all the circumstances instantly are just beautiful, because Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. The greater one who lives in you has overcome the world. And he knows how to do it, and he can help you to do it. But you've got to keep your eyes on him. You have to allow yourself to recognize the greater one. Listen, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's time to let go and let God. One of my relatives was involved in going to an AA meeting, and my wife went with this particular person, and she came back and she was sharing with me as we were driving to Pahokee on Sunday morning. We have a little place out in Okeechobee and we go a lot of times over on the weekends to that place. And as we were going, she said, you know, one of the things yesterday they said is that you just have to let go and you just have to allow God to take care of it. You're not going to overwhelm God. You'll never overwhelm him. But he'll help you so that you don't have to be overwhelmed. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 11, a lot of people refer to this as the hall of faith of believers. And it's really a wonderful portion of scripture that talks us about people who live their lives by faith. And we're going to begin in verse 33. Actually, I'm going to begin in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of God, Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Listen, isn't that amazing? Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know, all the Old Testament saints who died in faith, Jesus came to Abraham's bosom and preached to him about salvation and the work that he had done. And they all went to heaven with Jesus and then been waiting for the manifestation of the promise of a Savior. But just think about all the things that these people have been dealing with. You may be listening today. You're not in a situation where somebody's going to impale you with a sword. You may not be in a situation where somebody's going to have to close the lion's mouth to protect you. You may be involved in different things, but it's the same God who worked in their lives as they stood in faith. God came through for each and every one of them. And I believe that you could add your name to this book of faith that we're reading in Hebrews 11 and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I had to deal with this particular thing, and I came out on top. Remember, the scripture says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But you know, there's something about standing in faith and believing God that causes our character to grow and causes the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in our lives. It, you know, a tree that produces fruit is not, you know, getting planted and unplanted and moved and this and that, but it has to allow itself to get rooted in that soil. You and I have to allow the Holy Spirit to get us rooted in Christ and develop in us the character, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that sustain you from the time that you confess and believe the promise to that point where you have the victory. You see, between your faith being released and you're receiving the promise is that place of time where character is developed and fruit is developed. Or it could be that time where you decide, I just can't deal with it anymore, and you let loose of your faith, and all you've done is released your faith for the promise, but you've never received it. And so I want to go back to the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, because I just want this to be the scripture that we end our message with tonight, or this afternoon or the morning, or wherever you might be. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to read this again. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think.
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much. This is Dale Gentry, president and founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. 18 hours of continuous preaching being heard across America and around the globe here on your internet prayer station. For a complete listing of all of our preachers each Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And if you would like to minister every Sunday on Preaching Sunday, you can contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's rickgentry@bpnradio@gmail.com. Or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707, 214-918-8707. Or if you would like to sponsor one of our young preachers on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com, you can call Rick Gentry with the above information. Stay tuned for another sermon here on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com.